Talking with Clay Pope from the Oklahoma Association of Conservation Districts. Clay, let's talk a little bit about some of these conservation issues as it relates to the dry conditions. You know, really, this drought we were in much of 2011 and have continued to be in started at about this time a year ago, and for many, many people. And some rain showers in recent days, but that doesn't mean that we're not still on very, very, I guess, thin ice, you might say.
Absolutely. I mean, we've gone from down an extreme drought to a severe drought. And so, you know, if you look at what the folks at the National Weather Service are saying with the La Nina that's reformed over the Pacific, it's not going to take a whole lot more to push us back into that extreme drought category, unfortunately. Of course, weather's hard to predict, but that's the real challenge that I think that we are facing is that we, you know, there is a chance that we could be in for this for at least another year, if not a couple more. Our concern in conservation is as we move through one of these droughts. You know, we haven't really seen a situation like this since the 1950s. We want to make sure that everybody's mindful of what they need to do on their land to make sure that they're being careful about leaving residue on the soil, practicing those conservation lessons that we did learn the hard way in the 1930s to make sure that we don't see as much detritus in the air. One of the concerns that we had this last week before the rains came in, actually, sandy ground was up in the air around Kingfisher County, where I live and where I farm. And so if it's up in the air in Kingfisher County, you can imagine what it's doing out further west. And so the concern is we want to make sure that we are being mindful, being careful as we deal with issues concerning topsoil and wind erosion, that we're not repeating some of the mistakes of the past. I know there's a lot of pressure with that. We're concerned, and one of the things the association has expressed some concern about with Congressman Lucas is the issue of crop insurance and how it relates back to preventive planting for drought. There are provisions for preventive planting for drought. It's hard the way that it's written right now and the way RMA deals with it. It's really hard to take advantage of. I think that's something, if we are going to be into another year of this, that we do need to look at. If we've got another spring and summer and fall like we've seen this last year before us, that producers have those options that they really can take advantage of. Because, you know, you got economic concerns as well as soil erosion, also the loss of seed wheat and some other things. So hopefully that's something that will be addressed. Again, encourage producers, if they've thought about converting to no-till, this might be a good time to look at that option. Again, to look at doing more conservation tillage. Understand that if you have a single weed out in your field, it's not necessary to go out and work the whole place up. Try to do some things to maybe be a little more mindful of what wind erosion can do. Because, again, if we hadn't received this rain that we were blessed with this last weekend, we did have some bad scenarios starting to develop and some problems starting to rear their heads in parts of Oklahoma. So I think it's just something that we need just to look again and to remember where we came from and how we got to where we are today, and just be careful as we move forward.
Some of those more western counties, including out the Panhandle, they didn't get a whole lot of rain, so they're still very, very fragile indeed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not just a situation with cropland either. Obviously, we're focusing on that as people try to get their wheat in the ground. But I think also, you know, the situation with pastures, trying to be careful, you know, as far as stocking rates. And we don't want to set up a situation either where we do a lot of harm on our grasslands also and lead to some problems there as well. So it's something I think most producers are very mindful of it. I think when you look at what we've been able to do over the last few years, heck, the fact that we haven't seen until just recently any measure problems on wind erosion. We haven't seen a return of the Dust Bowl. We haven't seen the kind of things that we've seen in the past. That's a great testimony to the stewardship ethic of farmers and ranchers. The challenge that I think as we move forward is that we really keep that in mind and that we really, really consider that as we take on production practices in our operation and trying to figure out how we're going to approach this issue as we move forward, if indeed we are in one of these long-term droughts that's going to really impact us for several years. I mentioned Mr. Lucas. One of the meetings Frank Lucas and I were at the other day, we were talking about this situation, and he said, you know, in 2007, he takes a Cheyenne Star, his hometown paper, and it has a 50-year, 50 years ago today column on the side of the paper. He said, it struck me then, but it's really sinking in with me now. He said, the top article was, in the summer, it was, you know, huge celebration in Cheyenne, first truckload of wheat to a grain elevator in Roger Mills County in 4 years. You know, and if you think about that in the 1950s, that's the kind of drought that they were facing in the 1950s. We haven't seen that in my lifetime. I was born in 1969. We haven't seen one of those. Actually, we were due one in the 1980s, and we kind of dodged the bullet. We just got to be ready for it. I mean, our parents and grandparents dealt with it. You know, folks who've been around for a little while understand it. I think we just got to make sure that as we move forward that we be careful that we don't repeat those mistakes of the past, because it is so easy, especially when margins are tight, for things to happen that you don't intend to happen. And, you know, you're talking about topsoil, you know, an inch of topsoil. Alexander the Great was an infant when a lot of that topsoil started to form. if it goes, it's not going to be back in our lifetime. And we've got to be careful because civilization really rests on that inch of topsoil. I mean, all the food and fiber that feed and clothe the world come off of that one inch. We've got to be careful of that. We've got to be mindful of that and just practice those stewardship lessons that we have learned the hard way in the past and proven recently that we know how to use. So that's just our message, just to be careful.
Shifting gears just a little bit, obviously we're watching all the debate about budgetary cutbacks, pressure in the commodity title, pressure in the conservation title, maybe some pressure in the nutrition title on cutting some funding. But on conservation, you know, there's talk about, you know, maybe fewer dollars for EQIP, maybe fewer dollars for Conservation Reserve Program. You know, what's the right balance? You know, how do you maybe pare down on the duplicate programs but still keep the essential conservation services we need?
Well, I think all of us understand that we're all going to have to tighten our belts a little bit during these times of austerity. We need to do things to get our financial house in order. That being said, I'm hopeful that, again, going back to that example that I used of Mr. Lucas and the drought in the 1950s and how it affected his home county, I hope our policymakers understand that in the past we've seen serious problems and we don't want to repeat those problems. See the challenges that we're facing today, not just on soil erosion, but also on water quality. You know, you see the pressure that we're seeing on our water systems, which again is another impact of this drought, making sure that every ounce of water that you have is usable and that we're making the most inefficient uses of it. I'm hopeful that as we move forward, that while conservation has to do its fair share of cuts, and there are some savings can be found, I'm not going to say there's not some consolidation that can happen and some things that can reshuffle the deck and still provide that service. But you've got to have that basic core of service out there to help producers to make sure that we're protecting those resources on that working land, making sure you've got those folks with NRCS out there providing that technical assistance, making sure that you've got the delivery system in place to help that producer to take advantage of the programs that are there, and then that you've got adequate dollars to make sure that they've got the tools necessary to cost share and to make sure that those resources are protected for all of us, because it's important to keep that resource in place, because we've got another 9 billion, you know, we're going to be over 9 billion people soon, and that's a lot of mouths to feed on the world. We've got to have every productive asset that we can in production in the United States and across the globe. The other part of that is, too, we save the people in Oklahoma City and Tulsa and other metropolitan areas a lot of money when we do things that protect their water. It reduces their cost as far as water treatment, because if we weren't taking care of it out there on the land, they'd have to pay additional money in the form of treatment plants, and there would be additional challenges there. We're also doing things to improve wildlife habitat, which has a quality of life benefit. You know, you just go on and on and on. The health benefits of keeping the dirt on the ground. You know, people who have asthma and other health problems, you can keep the dirt out of the air. That's a way that they can help the rest of the country in that form as well. So I'm hopeful our policymakers are mindful of that. Clearly, conservation has to do its share, like every other part of the Farm Bill. But I think it needs to be an equitable cut, that we've got a fair and balanced approach, and we make sure that we've got those resources out there for the producers to take advantage of it. Because we'd a lot rather see the voluntary approach than the stick of regulation. And I know there's a lot of folks on Capitol Hill that would like to see more regulation. So we need to make sure that we've got those tools out there so that spectre doesn't rear its head as well.